Hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle here for your Numerology Academy coaching call for May 2013. And it's the 13th today. So, oh my gosh, 13 reduces to 4. And, well, I've had a huge workload already today. I'm excited, though. It's a good workload. 4 is a great number to just, you know, discipline yourself and get things done and manifest. And, of course, I've got my big live virtual event on Wednesday, which I hope most of you are attending. It's going to be really, really exciting. I'm creating it right now, and it's just, yeah, so much great information about the next 6 months that, you know, you want to tune in for this one. Besides, it really shows you how you can use the divination art as a divination art, divination art of numerology, to create an event, you know. So it's a great business tool as well when you join some of these events that I'll be having actually over the next, you know, months and years. So today is the 13th. I presume many of you are busy dealing with unexpected events and whatever else happens on a 13 day, but you know, May is that amazing 11 double new beginnings month. So the energy is quickening. If you just look at that fact, the energy is really quickening this month. But then you add the astrology to the equation, the Pluto Uranus square that's happening, the first of two meetings of these two planets in 2013 occurs this month on the 20th, and there's really, really a quickening in the air. There's, you know, many of us have a lot on our plate right now. It's time to really understand how to balance all our responsibilities this month, because we are expanding in every level possible. The double new beginnings of 11 is just a gateway into spiritual growth, into business growth, into understanding how we manifest, you know, the lack of money, or understand and learn how to manifest abundance in a new way, because double new beginnings means you have to use new approaches. Hence, I'm having this live webinar. It's the first time I'm doing this, where I'll be giving Q&A as well. And, you know, all of this is part of restructuring your life in 2013. So here's the exciting thing. We are going to be, you know, joining every month together. And so if you have questions about how to interpret these numbers for your clients, we can look at that. And, of course, it all begins with you. So if you have questions about your own chart, that's a great place to start, because here's how you learn, you know, the deepest way possible is with your own astronumerology equation, code, and chart, as well as your loved ones and friends. So, you know, I want to get to the first question that I got by email today, because it touches upon all of these points. And now I'm going to open the Q&A line for you. So all of you who have questions, you can press *6 right now and get in the queue so I can take your questions as well. But let me start with a question that Elaine sent in. And this is really important because it touches upon how you actually calculate your personal year, month, and day. There is some confusion about this, so let me just read you what she sent. I have a question about finding auspicious personal days. I still am not sure what to look for, especially if a personal day does not match up to one of my primary numbers. For example, my three personal numbers, important personal numbers, add up to 3, 4, and 6. May is a 21 month for me. It seems like all the days add up to numbers in the 20s and 30 and 31. What criteria do I use to determine good days to send a newsletter, make an offer, or any other event? Is it a good idea to use the Chaldean system to look for good days? What if a day adds up to 24-6? Or 31-4. Okay, you ask a lot of questions in this email. There are more questions as well. You ask, do you simply reduce the number to the day of the to the root number and go from there? So let me just look at all of this. First of all, Elaine, the way you're calculating is not correct. The way I do your personal cycles is I start on your birthday month and go to the next birthday month because you were born in a certain month. In your case, it was August 3rd. And so your personal year begins in August and goes through July of the next year. The calculator that you used, that you included a screenshot for on your email, starts the personal year in January, and that's what calculators will do. It's very easy to set up a program where anybody's personal year starts on the same day, which is January 1st, but that's not how I calculate your personal year. So first of all, the number you calculated for May is incorrect. You're born on 8/3/1955, so all of you who want to follow along with me here in the calculations can write that date down. August 3rd, 1955. And so between your last birthday in 2012 and this birthday, you would add 8/3/2012, right? Because that's when your personal year began. The one you're in currently now began in 2012. So 8 plus 3 plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 2 equals 16. So your personal year right now is a 16, which reduces to 7. 1 plus 6 is 7. Now, when it comes to May, you would add 5 for the fifth month of May to 16. So May is a 21 month, which is true. But then the day that you have in this calculator, notice you have a personal day of 12. Oh, no, that's a universal day. I see what you did here. Okay, yes, your personal day is 22. So your calculator is actually correct. My apologies, I was looking at your universal day. So yes, so all of us follow along here. So she's in a 21 month, which is a 5, and her personal day is a 22 for May 1st. So the way you look at this, yes, your three important numbers are 3, 4, and 6. You're born on the 3rd, your life purpose is a 31, which is a 4, and your destiny is a 105, which is a 6, right? So any personal days that are reduced to those numbers, where the root number is 3, 4, or 6, are very, very, very important for you. They're good days. Okay, you can just know that for sure. When one of your personal days also coincides universally, for example, if May 1st had been if it had been a 4 universal day, right? So the month is already a 3 month, which is one of your numbers, right? 21 personal month is a 3. So your 3 day of birth is already activated throughout May. So this is a very important month for you. Let's say the universal day on that day had been a 4. That would have been important for you, right? So any time more than one personal number is activated, whether universally or personally, it is important. Now, the way I look at this is like peeling the onion. The personal numbers are the most important. The personal day, month, and year are very unique to you. So you want to look at those first. Then, right after that, you look at the universal day and date, okay, and year. And, of course, we're in a 6 universal year. That's one of your important numbers. So, you know, that's important. Even though you personally are in a 7, this 6 universal year is resonating in your life as it is for all of us. So you have to take that in consideration because it is triggering your destiny. So, you know, for you, there is an underlying current that you're taking on more responsibility in your career because the destiny defines your career. So you can see there are a lot of layers for this. You're asking, if you want a day that is good for publicity, would I pick a day that is 23/5 or 32/5? Well, you know, that's a good question. Not necessarily. For you, the important days are 3, 4, and 6. So for publicity, I would pick a personal day of a 3 or a personal day of a 6. For you, because those are very good self-expression days anyway. This is the self-expression triad. The thing is, I don't want you to get too caught up in sending out newsletters on good days or not good days. The whole point of running a good business is that you send out a newsletter when you're prompted to do so, when it makes sense to do so, when there is an event you want to talk about. So not necessarily to line it up. When I do line the newsletter up is for important launches, and I do important launch dates, like the 15th of May for me is a very important day, so that's why I chose it. It also lines up beautifully for everyone because we are in a six universal year, and the 15th of May resonates that number six in a very magical way. Plus, the number six itself is about coaching and teaching. So you can see how choosing a day for a very important event is actually really magnifies the effect of the event and the amount of people who will sign up for it and register for it. So that, you know, as you can see, the layers are many, but you always start with your personal cycles, and yes, you reduce them to single digits because you want them to line up with one of your three important birth numbers, at least one of them. Okay, so you also, you know, so yes, the universal day does sometimes support the number, but sometimes it doesn't. You don't necessarily have to have the universal day or date support these numbers, except when it is a big launch, then I do recommend it. Okay, so I hope that answers your question. You know, it takes some practice to really, you know, see all the numbers in front of you, and you just have to write them all out. You write your birthday at the top, then you write your personal day, month, and year below that. Then you write the universal day, date, and year, and month below that, right? So you want to look at all those numbers and then base your decisions that way. Okay? So, Elaine, if you're on the call, please, you know, let me know if you have any follow-up to this. But it's a really good question, especially going into this six-month period that we are starting here in May, which is so important and transformative to know, you know, what days are supportive for you and what days you might want to lay low or take a deep breath or maybe not make, you know, huge commitments on. So, you know, those during times of intensity and where the energy really magnifies, having this information really helps to relax you and keep you in balance so you don't get ticked off when things aren't going your way sometimes, which happens, right? So, you know, plus you can really take advantage of those moments that are lined up for you in a very, you know, potent way. Okay, so, and then we have a question from Janelle, and you said, I have only now picked up that my destiny number is 118-10-1 and not 91-10-1. I was filling out the details for your 15 May webinar and then noticed on my personal numerology blueprint that the destiny number didn't include my last name at birth. Okay, and you say it still adds up to 10-1. Yeah, both of these, the one that is not correct and the one you just discovered, are both reduced to 10-1, which is really interesting. So you, all along you had the correct information. Now, yes, you know, the 118 is different from the 91 in that the 118 started with, you know, the 11 and the 8, and the 91 has the ending and beginning number, which is, you know, quite potent because this is showing you that your destiny is to shift people from release to new beginnings, from release to accepting the moment now as it is and walking through confidently, because that's what one means. Nine is release and culmination. One is confidence and originality and, you know, forward movement and activation. So having a 91 destiny, which is your career, means you are here to facilitate that. You're a facilitator of this movement in people, of this spiritual, psychological, emotional release and renewal in your clients. And because it reduces to 10, which you knew before, you are able to help them manifest. You know, you are there to help bring through the information they need so that they can set their goals and set points and feel, feel really equipped and confident to move forward. So you give them that feeling as well. Yeah, it does make a difference. The 118 is slightly different in interpretation. Like I said, it has the double one and the eight. The eight is about money, showing people how to run their business. And I don't think that's actually necessarily what you want to do. So the 91 actually makes more sense to you. Also, knowing you, you're a VIP client, so I know what you do. You definitely, in your background, have been very much into the therapeutic side, not so much showing people how to, you know, run their business. So that makes sense. So, but look at that, you know, Janelle, with you, what I can really see, though, too, is that you're coming into money. So the 1118, the 118 is just, you know, whether you have that one or not, they both are gateways, if you see what I mean. They both are openings. They both are double new beginnings and then moving through and manifesting. So in the end, it's the 10-1 that matters. The 10-1 is the magic number here. It's literally about love and light, right? So that's the number that that speaks, you know, most loudly. The 91 and the 118 just show the areas in which you would do this. So, you know, and that is up to you, really. And this is interesting. This discovery that you made also may point out a shift in direction for you, actually. So, you know, when you make a discovery about your numbers, you've come across a shift, a change that you then can implement into your life. So that's something to consider, too, if you just meditate on what the numbers mean, you know, and look at that and how that might have changed from what you were doing previously. So that's also something to consider. Okay, so let's move on. We have a couple callers lined up. If you have a question, press *6, get in line. And right now, let's see, click here. I have 303 area code. Hello.
Hello, this is Rebecca Hansen from Denver.
Oh, hi, Rebecca. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. And I know the questions I ask, probably everybody's going to know but me because I'm brand new.
Okay.
But I had posted a question about the zero ascendant and how to calculate how to figure out the zero. That was my chart. And I'm doing my three practice clients, and I've come across a midhaven at zero, and one of the planets at 0 degrees. Do I calculate the minutes at that point for everything?
Yes, very good question. When midheaven or ascendant especially are at zero, you know that's a very important number, and your ascendant is at 00 and 56 minutes. So you would
right.
calculate the minutes, the 56 then equals 11. And that's, by the way, your birth time. In order to really do this properly, your birth time has to be absolutely exact because the minutes literally change very quickly, as you can imagine. This wheel.
Exactly. And being 66 years old, I don't know how many people kept exact at that time. I have no idea if it's true or not.
That's right. And there is really... the only way you can figure it out is if you do intense research on your progressions and transits and maybe can pinpoint.
Intense.
Yeah. Well, that would take a lot of time on your part, like to remember the exact date that things happened and figuring out, you know, if it lines up with a progressed moon or actually the transits would be triggering you for that day. But for you, working with what you have, yes, you would add the 56 minutes, so 5 plus 6 is 11, and know at the same time that the double zero, whether it's in a planet or in a house cusp, means divine protection. The zero is really about the alpha and omega, and it's the circle, the beginning, the end, encompasses everything. So it's like, it's as if you are being told that this time around, in this lifetime, you are restarting everything. You are releasing what you need to in order to move into a brand new, discovery of who you are. And so for you, that discovery involves, you know, you have a 2 up there in your midheaven. That's a 0-2 right there in Aquarius. So for you, that discovery would involve career-wise working one-on-one with people, being in partnerships, being in a situation where you can have another person or group to speak to, to counsel in some ways. And so the relationship part aspect and the balance, keeping the balance in your career too, is very important. But anything one-on-one for you is wonderful. And then in terms of, other parts of your chart, I see here, I'm looking at your sixth house, and it has six planets in it. That's huge. I mean,
everybody
six planets
looks at
in
my
house.
Sixth house.
Well, that's your lifestyle. That is the way in which you choose to work, the way in which you choose to uphold your health, your environment. And so for you, that part of your life, paying attention to that area of your life is really going to help you, make this new start. So any kind of health habits, work habits, lifestyle habits, the environment you're in, those things are very, very important to you, because really a lot of your personal planets are here. You have the Sun, Mars, Moon, and Mercury. So you have to pay attention to that part of your life in order to feel whole and at ease and ready to tackle whatever needs to be, attended to at any given moment in time. And so that's really important for you in terms of just feeling like you are stepping out and being, feeling completely like you are sovereign and independent, which, by the way, 2013 is all about with this Uranus-Pluto square. We're being asked to do that. So it's a very important time for you to feel those things in the areas I just pointed out, right?
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
It does. It does. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, if you look at your chart and you go through Numerology Academy, which I know you just started, but you'll make new discoveries the more you look, and you can go to bed with your chart. You can read it. You can just, spend time with it.
I'm familiar with astrology, and the numerology has just absolutely made everything blossom amazingly well. Just totally loving it, so thank you.
That's great. I also noticed with you, Rebecca, that your Sun is at 2 degrees, along with your midheaven, which is, wow, that's big, plus your Venus in the seventh house is at 2 degrees.
Yeah.
That is lovely. Really, really like that for balance. So I can hear also from your energy that your presence in people's lives, as if you do any counseling work or consultation, is really going to help people bring peace. You bring that sense of peace and balance into people's life just by virtue of being who you are,
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. It's just so important right now for people to feel that peace, because, as you know, a lot of people feel out of sync and stress out. Your presence in their life is very healing. And, so I can see how you would come into this new, renewed lifetime being a facilitator of peace. And balance. Even the 00 is a balanced number. It's there's no other number besides 22 and 11 that is doubled up and is balanced like that, right? So you have that, that what I call the God number, 0, right on your ascendant. So people, trust your intuition. You're very, very intuitive. You're very psychic, and what comes through you will really resonate with people. So I don't know if you know that, but you're very psychic. Your Pluto's at 13 degrees opposite your midheaven, and that in itself makes you extremely psychic right there, especially in regards to people's karmic patterns, you know, because Pluto's conjunct Uranus at 8 degrees. 8 is a very karmic number. I'm just talking to you in general with your career, you know, how you would counsel people.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, you're able to help people relax so that they can look at these hidden issues in their life and cleanse them. 13 and 4 right there, 13 is a 4. So 4 and 8 are in that fateful numbers category.
Right,
so to have
right.
them lined up like that, you know, that's just, I'm just noticing that as I'm reading this chart. For you means you're helping others. Part of your work is to help others work through issues like that. So you may attract people who have names who are 8s and 4s or birthdays that have 8s and 4s in them or charts that have 8s and 4s and, you know, help them balance that out, right?
You know, so. I do. I mean, total strangers do that. I mean, I'm drawing them all the time. My issue has been I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody like that, and that's the relationships I've drawn as well.
Mm. Ah. Sounds like we need to have a reading.
I am really happy not being in a relationship. I'm loving it.
Good. Well, you know, I mean, that can happen too. But, you know, you need to be in a relationship, though. You
oh,
learn,
I know.
You...
I looked at all those twos and I'm going, holy cow.
Yeah, that's how you grow. I'm not saying you need to be in one every day of your life. Obviously, we need timeouts. But, you know, the point is not to live the rest of your days without being with someone. So, you know, I would have to look at what's happening to you. By the way, that's what I'm doing Wednesdays. I'm looking at all the areas, which I know you can do as an astrologer, but I'm looking at it from the astronumerology perspective on Wednesdays.
Right, right.
So, yeah. So,
I'm loving studying these numbers. I really am. It's juicy stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that coming from, you know, an astrologer, because I'm finding that astrologers who sign up for the Numerology Academy are just so excited about this new lifeline they've been handed. Yeah, I know. It's great. Well, I'm glad you are. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. So let's move on to area code 208. Hello?
Hi, good day. I almost said good morning. I'm Sonia Sciorra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to start with a simple question, but one that I'm totally confused about. I ran across a name spelled Y-A-X-K apostrophe I-N. Now, how would you calculate that either way, whether you were working with it as first name or whether you were working with it as a current name?
Ooh, what an interesting name.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Y-A-X-K apostrophe I-N. Anytime mm-hmm. there's an apostrophe, like O'Connell or, you know, something like that, the last name O'Connell has an apostrophe, you actually separate it as if it was two names. The apostrophe means, even though, there's no space between the apostrophe and the two names, you still calculate it as two names.
Okay.
So in your case, the first one would be 9. Why? I don't know how you pronounce that. Yaksk?
I'm not sure. I think it's Yakin, but I'm not sure. Yakin, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying the first name would be Yaksk or Yak. Yeah, and then this Yakin.
This is
right,
all
exactly.
one word.
Yeah, but if it has the apostrophe, though?
Yes, it's a conjunction of two names at one point.
Yeah, if he put that apostrophe in, then it would be two names. In this case, by the way, either way, you spell it, let's see, either way you spell it, with the apostrophe or not, it adds up to 15. You know, either way you do it. If you did it as Yakin without the apostrophe, it's 15. If you did it as two words, it's still 15, right?
Okay.
So, but that's how you do it with the apostrophe.
Okay.
Yeah. So are you doing his destiny number as well?
No, it's not a client or anything. It's just a name that I came across, and I looked at that and thought, I don't know what to do with a name like this.
Ah.
I think I'll find out. because it was just a new, to have the apostrophe in the middle like that rather than at the beginning like an O'Donnell or something, you know. I just wasn't sure exactly how to handle it. So I guess it's the same rule. It's just in a different spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
With names these days, you don't know where things show up.
Isn't that the truth? Okay. Next question, then, is has an astrology feel to it, because what I did was I pulled up a natal chart of someone that I know quite well and then entered a different date for a period in time when they were having extreme challenges and pulled that up then and looked at the transit chart. And what I'm seeing is a different sacred geometry in both of them that I'm not sure if I did this right or whether it's something we should look at when we are looking at somebody's history like that. On the natal chart, I had a grand square and a grand trine and an achievement triangle. Sorry, my tongue is tangling. So
a
grand square, a grand trine, and an achievement triangle appeared in the natal chart. And when I changed the date and pulled it up as a transit, I have a grand square, two different achievement triangles, and a small triangle.
So that's from the transiting planets going to the natal planets. You're getting that diagram.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I've found with really important life-changing moments is that the chart just is full of those. I mean, you just have so many important aspects usually going. Or there's just a really huge, like a grand square is pretty major, obviously. Or, you know, a double opposition or several oppositions. Squares and oppositions, as you know, are the ones that build that tension that allows us to make those shifts. So we usually find those, and there are other degrees as well, which I will actually be teaching very shortly in a new program that I'm actually releasing on Wednesday. I'm doing a pre-release for it. And I will show how there are certain geometries and aspects which you really want to look out for when you do forecasting or go back and backtrack like you are. But, yeah, absolutely, the sacred geometry that shows up would indicate what was going on energetically at that time. You know, I mean, a grand square would certainly show there would have been a lot of stress at that time.
Right, and there was.
Yeah.
But
and if you're born with a – pardon me?
Where there was a grand square – at different degrees in the natal chart.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
do you need to play those numbers against each other, or how would you do that?
You can, because it would relate, since it's the same geometric design. That's a very good question. I would look at the numbers of the degrees of the planets for both the natal square, grand square, and the transiting grand square. I would look at those numbers and see what the message is in those, because yes, the numbers do matter. And I don't know if you know the backstory for what happened, you know, either at birth, you know, because the birth would have been challenging as well for this person with a grand square like that. So, you know, so in a sense, what could have happened is whatever spiritually occurred to the soul when he or she was born, you know, there may have been a resistance, or just for whatever reason, the birth was a real initiation, like you're going to have a pretty big life, and maybe you don't feel ready for it, but you've got to come out now, you know, that kind of thing. So this period in that person's time that we're going forward now to when you got the transit for, would have been a moment in that person's life where he or she would have, you know, been confronted with issues that would have been residue or needed to be released in order for that person to move forward and accomplish what they are here to do. Because when you're born with the grand square, you've got a lot to accomplish, a lot. You know, it's just one of those, you're just going your whole life, basically. There's not much rest for those people.
That's true.
Yeah. So during that moment where you found another grand square in the transits, that would have been a really, really active, confronting time, you know, you know, to make whatever that soul chose to manifest in this life and accomplish, to make that happen. But something had to break. Something had to break. He or she had to break through something at that moment, you know.
True. And with the achievement triangles, now there was one in the natal and two in the transit. And now there's some overlap in the numbers, but not totally. And there again, I'd play those against each other, right? To kind of see how that works too. Now that I know that that's a positive, the achievement triangle is more a positive.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, the positive always accompanies what we call the negative. It, you know, there's always the silver lining. You know, there's the shadow side in numbers and the positive side. So it makes total sense that there would have been something very much achieved during this time, whatever that was, whether it was a sense of freedom, release, you know, new discoveries, breaking away from something, or, you know, manifesting something very important. So, yeah, the numbers would show, you know, how the coloring of that event. And so, you know, I don't have the chart in front of me. I can't see it, so I can't look at, you know, how I would describe that. But you hit on a really great point that looking at the numbers that accompany a transit, especially when it resonates like this one does to the birth chart, you know, in terms of the geometry being similar, you know, activating a similar kind of geometry, is very important. And it's like the sacred symbolism is speaking to you. You know how some people wear necklaces that have a symbolic message on it because it reminds them either of their, you know, let's just say their sun sign, or you know, there's a Celtic symbol that makes them feel connected to that time, you know. Symbols are very important. So when they show up in your actual chart, you know, that is something to investigate as much as possible. And the numbers give you a gateway to do that, right? I mean, the symbolism itself is important. We know what grand squares, grand trines, achievement triangles mean. The point is, can you go deeper? Because the layers just go on and on, you know. They continue. There's just so much you can gauge when you actually start looking at the numbers themselves for the actual event and how the numbers for that event correlate to the birth numbers for that person, right? Whether it is the numerology birth numbers or the actual numbers in the representative geometric shape at the time of birth. So it's fun. It takes time. But on the other hand, once you know your numbers, you can intuit some very quickly, you know, once you understand what the numbers mean and are fluid in that language. I think the what you write down on your piece of paper and look at, because I'm drawing all these shapes right now, as you're talking, I drew them all out, right? So I'm getting inspiration from the actual visible representation of these symbols, right? So as you do that and make it visible on the page and work with it, and, you know, I always have a pen and paper handy anyway when you're an astronumerologist, it's just a given, you start making those wonderful, you know, what Linda Goodman called spiraling. I love that name. You know, you just spiral and keep spiraling and get more and more information. So,
now,
did that answer your question?
One more layer, if you would. With the
achievement
triangle, I know that you said that the top point of that triangle points to the house where this is going to be most manifested, or anyway, where it's most active. Mm-hmm. What about the grand square where you have the four points? Are they all equally intense, or do we look at a particular?
No, they are all equally intense.
Okay.
They're all equally intense, yes. So if the grand square is, here's the other thing to remember. There are the parts of your chart that where the natural chart is cast, right? You've got the cardinal sign, the fixed sign, the mutable signs in that start, because you start with Aries, Taurus, you go to Gemini, right? So
mm-hmm.
if the fixed square is in the fixed signs, meaning second house, fifth house, eighth house, 11th house, it's going to be a different feeling than a cardinal square or a mutable square.
Mm-hmm.
So look at that as well. So that's what I mean. There are always these layers you can go into with astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind as well. But yes, the four houses are equally important. Unless, here's the caveat to that, unless one of the numbers resonates to one of his or her important birth numbers, then that house will take on extra meaning, right? Because you have a correlation there that's being activated. So
okay,
you can give a little extra weight.
About.
Yeah, you would always want to correlate to those three important birth numbers, as
mm-hmm.
well as the personal shift number as well. That's a very important number. You want to look at those when you gauge the importance of certain areas, you know, in a transit like this. So, because they trigger each other. The numbers all speak to each other. And if the same numbers there, you know, from birth to transit, somebody's born on the 15th and they have a transit that appears on 15 degrees, 6 degrees, or 24 degrees, that's going to trigger that 15 and vice versa. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay. Well, more fun. Becca just said, you know, it's just continually fascinating to see how more and more comes to light and how the layers evolve and show up at just the right point for us to see them.
Yes, yes. And I just want to thank you, too, Rayora, for your wonderful presence on the Facebook page. You give wonderful, you know, comments and advice, and it's just really great to have you there. And I encourage everybody to you know, if you haven't yet, to take part, whether you just started Numerology Academy or are an advanced member. It's a great place to just communicate and ask questions and share your discoveries, and that's what these calls are for, too. Some of these questions, by the way, may be way over some of your experience right now, but you will be able to go back and listen when you've caught up, you know, with your webinar sessions. And So anyway, thank you, Rara, for your presence, you know.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Oh, great. Okay, so did that answer your questions?
It did. I think that's probably sufficient for this time. So.
Okay, good. You have a happy month ahead.
Yeah, no lie. Okay, bye for now.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, wow, that was a good question. So I don't think anybody else is lined up. Star 6, press star 6 if you have a question. I'm very excited about what's coming up, you know, for all of us actually now. And, boy, between now and our next call, you will have experienced a shift in your life. I can guarantee that with the energies the way they are now. So I want all of you to, you know, enjoy this ride. It really is. You know, we're being really activated now to do what we're here to do. So if there's something that is pressing on you and you are resisting it, it will persist. You know, what you resist persists. And that's no more true than right now with the Pluto-Uranus event that's about to happen, is happening as we speak, coming together. You know, this is the moment before, the days before our buildup of incredible energy right now. So I want all of you to enjoy that process, grow from it, and we will speak on the other side in June. And I don't have the date in front of me, but Irina will send it to you with the link to this call. And I thank all of you for joining me, and many of you will be on my live webinar on Wednesday, and I really look forward to connecting with you then as well. Meantime, have a wonderful May, nice Memorial Day if you're in the U.S., and I will see you in June. All right. Goodbye, everyone.